everybody. Welcome into the Sportscaster and Her Son, where sports bridges the gap between the generations. That's what we've always said now for 4 years talking about this podcast.
Five years.
See, I keep forgetting that I do here with my son, Jason. I'm Peggy Kuczynski, the 12-time Emmy Award-winning sportscaster in Chicago. I am now with ESPN 1000 in Chicago. I host the Bears post-game shows, as well as Peggy and Dion on Saturday mornings. You can catch those episodes also on the ESPN Chicago app.
And I'm Jason Conander, hopefully an eventual Emmy-winning sportscaster. I don't know. We'll see how these job applications go over the next few months. Anyway, I'm a senior at the University of Texas. I'm the sports director for Texas Student Television. I also host another podcast, the Hook 'em Hoops Pod, for the Field of 68 Media Network, where we talk all things Texas basketball. Mom, it is so nice being back, talking with you at what is really a great time of the year for Bears fans. We're getting some answers on the direction that they are moving in. We are now on day two of free agency. Let me hear your rapid fire thoughts.
Well, I'm shocked that the Bears' biggest move was signing DeAndre Swift, a running back. The running back market really kind of took me by surprise. And if I'm not mistaken, Saquon Barkley, who the Bears were also rumored to be in talks with as well, I believe Saquon Barkley signed for just $500,000 more than the Bears ended up paying DeAndre Swift. So I found that to be interesting. We are still at this moment, March 12th, day two of the legal tampering period for the NFL, waiting for the Bears to sign an edge rusher. Danielle Hunter is still available as we are recording this. That could change at any moment. But that, to me, was the biggest target that they should have been making, and they could still be making. They could still be in that market. And I found that to be interesting as they head into the draft, because I think the draft is going to be very offensive weapon oriented, especially in the early rounds.
I was interested to see that the Bears weren't very interested in Bryce Huff, the defensive end from the New York Jets. Obviously, he signed for quite a lot of money really early into free agency with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I thought that that was the Bears' opportunity to make a splash at that position, and just didn't happen yesterday. And the only signing on defense that the Bears have made at the point of recording this on the morning of day two of free agency is Kevin Byard at the safety position. And so really curious, because this isn't a defense heavy draft. And with the Bears' first two picks, especially if they don't trade down from nine, they are expected to take offensive players with both of those picks. And so I'm curious to see what the plan is for the defense. Obviously, Chase Young is available at the edge position. Not the biggest fan of him because of the injury concerns and the lack of productivity with San Francisco, but that's a former second overall pick in the NFL draft. He used to line up on the opposite side as Montez Sweat, so they have experience playing on the same defense together. Mom, what direction do you think the Bears are going to go in today on defense?
Well, I think it is. They are definitely in on the Danielle Hunter talks right now. And I think that what we saw was happening when it came to the three techniques and the defensive tackles, they've reset the market. Chris Jones, obviously, re-signing in Kansas City was huge. In Baltimore, they kind of reset the market for a three technique. So I think that the Bears are out of those, and I think they're going to look at some of the young guys, Zach Pickens and Jerron Dexter Jr. on their rosters already. I do think that they do still need a bookend, and to have someone for Montez Sweat, who is a stud, would be amazing. The Bears have like $63 million available. The amount of money that has been increased with the salary cap this year, we are seeing immediate reflections on the free agent signings. Not only have they reset the market for inside tackles on the defensive line, but also for inside guards on the offensive line. Running backs are getting paid more than we had anticipated. And lo and behold, Baker Mayfield gets $50 million. Kirk Cousins once again bets on himself and wins by signing in Atlanta. So we're seeing a lot of money flying off the table, whether or not the Bears, who I believe we're top four in amount of money available under the cap, whether they get involved in this with Danielle Hunter is going to be interesting to see. But instead of me telling you, Jason, Why don't we let someone who knows a little bit more about the Bears and the NFL tell us as well? He is a former Super Bowl Bear. He's a local guy here in the Chicagoland area, and he is one of the partners on the broadcast team for ESPN Radio and also the Chicago Bears Radio Network, Tom Thayer. Tom Thayer, let me ask you this. As of today with free agency, we're on day two, March 12th. Justin Fields, is he a backup quarterback or is he a starting quarterback?
I think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but I think you need to be either with the Bears or with a team that has some consistency at the offensive coordinator position so he has time to grow. He has time to become familiar with the language, the terminology, and everything that goes along with a quarterback developing. You know, Justin never had the luxury of sitting in the quarterback seat behind an experienced veteran where he got, you know, the learning of, you know, how beneficial that is when you see other quarterbacks having gone through that process. But I still think Justin, starting quarterback in the NFL, especially when you look around the league and look at some of the other failure projects.
Let me ask you this. If the Bears were to keep Justin Fields, could he be a mentor to Caleb Williams? And what would that mean in the quarterback room and in the locker room, which is filled with guys that all love Justin Fields?
Oh, I think he could be a mentor because he's got NFL experience. And, you know, Caleb is not going to come in here and, you know, be their alpha male in that locker room. But Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator, he's going to be the real mentor to both of these guys because they're both going to start from ground zero within this new offense. And, you know, Peg, to me, I think it takes you a couple years to master the terminology in any new offense that you're going to learn. Back in our day with the Bears, we were fortunate to be in the same system for a seven-year period where – the terminology became second nature. Once the words came out of the quarterback's mouth in the huddle, we could finish it. So, but you know, it's going to be Shane Waldron to the quarterback position that's going to develop these guys. It's really kind of an unpredictable scenario because you have Russell Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a $1 million deal because Denver Broncos is going to pay all of his money. And then you got Sam Darnold, who's coming into the Minnesota Vikings, who I don't think is a significant upgrade in the quarterback in the division for the Minnesota Vikings. And you got Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury, going to Tampa Bay for a $150-plus, $180 million deal, whatever it's worth. So, and then you have the first line of quarterbacks that are coming out in the draft, and then you have a second-tier quarterbacks coming out in the draft. So, I don't think there's any clear cut, you know, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C deal for Justin Fields. So he's a great teammate. He's got a dynamic athleticism. And if he comes in here and makes the quarterback position more competitive, maybe they do that.
Yesterday, the big signing was DeAndre Swift going to the Bears, 3 years, $24 million. Tom, why DeAndre Swift when there are so many running backs available in free agency? Tony Pollard was signed by the Titans. Josh Jacobs signed by the Packers. Aaron Jones signed this morning by the Minnesota Vikings. So why did the Bears zone in on DeAndre Swift? He was the first running back off the board.
Yeah, you know, surprised me too, but 25 years old and a lot of experience in multiple offenses, both in Detroit and Philly. And I think he's capable of doing you know, everything that's required out of you from the running back position nowadays. First of all, you know, yeah, you have to have the innate ability to be a ball carrier and have that vision behind the line of scrimmage, but you also have to be able to catch the ball equally as well in these modern day offenses. And I think when you have Roschon Johnson, who's a really good blocking running back, you know, if you'd have a guy that you want to put in, you know, in the pass blocking offense portion of an offense, Roschon can do that. I don't think that's DeAndre Swift's strong point. However, he's a good receiver. He's a good running back. He's got experience. He's got experience in the division, and he's super familiar with the NFC.
So the Bears haven't signed a defensive end yet. They're not expected to address that position in the first round of the draft. They could, but right now it seems like they'll go offense in the top 10. with Danielle Hunter still on the board, a couple other names still on the board, Bryce Huff off the board, where do you think the Bears are going to go? Which direction do you think they're going to go with the DN position?
You know, I would definitely explore the possibilities of Danielle Hunter and see what his salary requirement is. I'm not going to overpay for him, but, you know, I think the Bears have learned a lot of lessons in the last few years about signing guys, you know, like Yannick Ngakoue that, you know, was injured, or Robert Quinn who came in, he was injured, didn't participate in training camp. First of all, you need to, you know, you need to understand what their health status is. And unfortunately, when you bring in these free agents, you don't get a chance to do a super physical on them. So you have to hope that you can bring in a healthy guy. And then there's a talent out there within the draft that you have to look at these guys to see if they can come in and provide an instant spark at a defensive end pass rusher. And you look at some of the guys like Javon Kearse or Reggie White back in the 80s, that guys that have come in and have explosive rookie years from the defensive end position. If you feel that you have that guy out there, because, you know, the Bears have DeMarcus Walker and a couple of other guys that can hold down the position on first and second down. But if you find that there's a rookie out there that you can either – trade down with that ninth pick and get a couple of more picks in the second round or something, maybe that guy becomes available. But, you know, not a huge fan of Chase Young at this point in his career, but Danielle Hunter, a guy that will move within the division. If he did come to the Bears, he would be a guy that I would have interest in. I would expect double-digit sacks out of him playing across the line from Sweat.
You mentioned that ninth overall pick. I want to ask another question about that because I'm super intrigued with what the Bears do there. It's a loaded wide receiver class, so there's a pretty solid chance that they could draft Roman Dunze if he's available, Brock Bowers at the tight end position. What direction are you feeling that the Bears are going to go? And do you think that the Bears may have already tipped their hand with what they're going to do with that ninth pick since they haven't went after a wide receiver yet in free agency?
You know, like you said, it's a loaded position, the wide receiver position. There are some talented guys. To me, you know, if I could gain a couple of extra picks and move down a little bit with that ninth pick, I would be willing to explore that option and then try to target one of the other receivers out there. But, you know, if there's a guy right now that Ryan Poles and Shane Waldron just cannot live without, you know, I'd be willing to take him as well. And you look at, you know, you have DJ Moore. He's about a 6'1", 200-and-something-pound frame. That's Aduze. They're very similar in the size. And so if they believe that one of these guys has that a burst of speed that can offer a little bit more downfield threat from the wide receiver position, I wouldn't be, you know, I would be willing to go in that direction. However, I've been thinking about that ninth pick in the draft, and if I can move and maybe acquire a couple more picks and still get one of the guys that I really targeted, I'd be willing to do that as well.
Let's go back to the draft a little bit here with talking about the defensive line. What worries me, Tom, is that we have heard Matt Eberflus talk about this forever, that the three technique is what really makes this defense run. Right now they have two young guys, Zach Pickens, Jervon Dexter, second-year players going in. We saw them start to improve really at the second, you know, the final third of last season, I would say. But are they ready to take over that job? Because the Bears have not addressed it so far in free agency. And Matabuike really kind of reset the market. Let's not even look at what Chris Jones re-signed for in Kansas City. It was really Baltimore's signing that kind of took me by surprise with that, the three technique and the inside tackles resetting the market, kind of like what we're seeing on the offensive line with the guards. There's a lot of money going out right now to the very guts of those lines.
And they deserve it, Peggy. Those offensive guards, they should get paid. But you know, the thing about it is a three technique defensive tackle. You know, whether you want to go back to John Randall or Keith Millard from the Minnesota Vikings in the day, or Randy White way back in the day, or the three technique defensive tackles that we see right now, the immediacy of burst. Can you get off the ball quicker than any interior offensive lineman to create that immediate penetration where you don't necessarily have to make the tackle, but if you can shrink the size of what the offense can do against you, then that's what I'm looking for out of a three technique defensive tackle. So it has to, you know, when you look at Zach Pickens and you look at Dexter Jr., do they have the innate ability to anticipate the snap count? Do they have that ability to burst into the interior of the offensive line to get penetration, to shrink the size of the width of the field on offense? If the Bears defensive coaches have recognized that these guys have that ability and you can get those guys into a rotating position, then maybe we're going to see the best out of them. I did see improvement out of these guys throughout the course of their rookie season. And I was always curious, are these guys going to hit a rookie wall where they're just going to start backpedaling instead of advancing? And I never saw that out of them. So I have higher expectations for them in year two than what I saw them accomplish in year one. But, you know, there was a couple guys in the draft where if you look at their burst, if you look at their vertical jump, if you look at their, you know, the different ways that you can measure explosiveness, maybe you have to investigate that position with the 9th pick in the draft as well. If you have that guy that you feel that can come in and be an immediate snap a game dominator as a rookie, you know, when in 85, when we had McMichael and Hampton, they still drafted William Perry. So you can never have too many great defensive linemen. And you look at what the Eagles have done over the last couple of years. And since they had Fletcher Cox, retire, now they got to get more guys aboard. But just overall ability to have that burst ability from that position is what I would investigate most of need out of that position.
All right, you've led me perfectly onto the other side of the trenches, and your favorite discussion is offensive line. I got you a little riled up yesterday. We were at Hallis Hall, and it is obvious what we are seeing the last couple of years, especially in Chicago, with this Matt Eberflus staff and the Chris Morgan offensive line, is that they like guys that can plug and play. They like guys that have multiple, they're versatile on the offensive line. They signed someone here in free agency. We're not sure if he's going to play center. He doesn't have a lot of starts at center, but he's played more guard. The Bears offensive guards right now have both been injured. They've missed games, you know, throughout their career. Left tackle is still a question mark with Braxton Jones. And we still don't know who's going to play center. So what is happening with the offensive lines these days? Is it truly gone? The days of yesteryear when you have the same starting line for as many years as you guys did back in 85?
You know, it's not impossible, but when you go out and you make a $30 million commitment to Nate Davis, you have to believe that he's going to come in here and be a leader from the moment he steps in the locker room. And we never got to see him in pads during training camp last year. And then when they went out and they drafted Tevin Jenkins a couple years ago, he was coming in here and they were saying that he's going to be a starting left tackle in the league. And that's never been the case. They've been trying to find the right position for him. And if Tevin can have a couple of strong seasons together, he has the ability to be one of the better offensive guards in the division and maybe one of the better offensive guards in the league. So you need that stability of these guys that are going to come in here and play. I think he can draft a guy at the center position that can be a starter from day one. I do believe that, and we've seen other teams do it. But everybody kind of covets the offensive tackle position. They did a great job getting Darnell Wright and bringing him aboard last year. Braxton Jones has a super intelligent player. He's got dedication and athleticism. But is he investing time in the weight room? He's got to become stronger. He's got to become more physical of a football player. So Chris Morgan can design the pass protection responsibility and put both of these offensive tackles on an island when they have to be and be able to maintain a one-on-one blocking responsibility. But I still do think that Ryan Poles, being an ex-offensive lineman, he can find the talent positions that they could solidify that offensive line for a few years to come.
So last year at number nine, he does take an offensive lineman when they moved down from the first pick, and they moved down again a second time. So dare he do it again in year two at number nine if Joe Alt is available and so is Roma Dunze? Do you dare take another offensive lineman at number nine for the second straight year, or do you have to go more with the weapon?
You know, Joe Alt is a special player. He's got bloodlines. His dad was a good player. He's already showed that he has good bendability. He has good strength. He's got good dedication to the position. And when you talk about having bookend offensive tackles and you look at it throughout history in the NFL, it can be one of the most solidifying opportunities for your offense to grow. And if you are going to bring in a rookie quarterback and you want him to have stability and confidence behind the line of scrimmage, it starts with your offensive line. And so, yeah, if Joe Alt is there, but I don't think he's going to be. However, there's going to be a couple offensive tackles that are going to receive a lot of first-round attention. So if that guy is there and you believe he's the guy that's going to hold down your offensive tackle position for the next 10 years – then yeah, you can go out and make that pick. But you know, there's a lot of talented players. You know, Peggy, watching the combine this year, I was impressed with the athleticism in this combine as much as I have been in the last 6 or 7 years. And that's from receiver to tackle to explosive defensive lineman to speed at linebacker, and so on.
What do you expect the Bears to accomplish the rest of free agency? Obviously, they've already signed Swift, they signed Kevin Byard, and they haven't addressed the DN position yet, but they likely will. What do you think the Bears are going to opt to do in free agency opposed to the draft with a couple weeks of free agency leading into the draft next month?
You know, I think it's, you know, Ryan Poles knows behind the scenes what he covets in the early in the draft. So if there is a wide receiver out there that can come in and add a spark to the Bears offense. And if you, okay, like Peggy said, if you go for an offensive tackle rather than Roman Aduze, then do you make that decision here in free agency? You know, is there a defensive lineman out there that, you know, could come in and add depth? I really don't know if there's an interior guy out there. So, you know, maybe it is like you talked about before, James, that is there that defensive end out there like Danielle Hunter that you give a short-term deal and try to, you know, capitalize on a defensive end wanting to come in here and playing across from Montez Sweat and goes, okay, if I come in here on a short-term deal, that's going to pay me what they paid Ngakoue last year, $10 million. If you can come in here and make $10 million and get 10 or 11 sacks, maybe that can catapult you forward to another opportunity or another deal.
There's a lot of momentum at the end of the season from within the Bears locker room, players being vocal with their support of Justin Fields, wanting him to return. Is there any concern with the Bears most likely going in a different direction? Is there any concern that they'll lose some of the locker room, lose the trust of the locker room, or is it just business as usual?
You know, unfortunately, in the callous side of football, it's business as usual. And I think when the ultimate goal of the Bears front office, Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, all the coaching staff, you got to get yourself in position to win the division. You got to get yourself in position to make the playoffs. You see what Green Bay was able to do last year with Jordan Love brought aboard for the first year. You know that Detroit's a pretty good football team. You know, like I said, I don't have a great deal of concern about Sam Darnold if he's the starter in Minnesota. Now, is that going to aggravate Justin Jefferson where he wants to get out of there because Kirk Cousins is not throwing him 100 targets a year? But I think it's, you know, the biggest concern for the Bears is how you're going to win the division. And unfortunately, you know, I've been a part of the teams enough and been a part of the NFL that you see guys come and go, and that's just part of the – that's the difficult side of football.
All right, final thoughts. The Bears really are in a win-win situation, no matter what happens, as we all go on the Justin Fields watch here. Whether they trade him, whether they don't trade him. If they don't trade him, there obviously wasn't a trade market for him, so they keep him. So now they create a competition, or they create an opportunity for Caleb Williams to learn. But this is the thing, Tom, that I want to ask you. Are you prepared? If Caleb Williams comes to Chicago, he very well could be the next Jim McMahon, in the sense that he's got the personality. He's already got all the NIL money. He's got a ton of sponsorships. He really truly could own the city of Chicago if he plays his cards right, if he is as mature as he thinks, and if he carries the success. Do you see the similarities of Chicago being able to take in a Caleb Williams the way they did a Jimmy Mack?
I do, but I can't imagine Jimmy Mack with social media, with the way cameras followed everybody around, with Jim coming here. You know, Jim left college, he had 72 NCAA records. And you can imagine the NIL money behind a guy that has that type of accomplishment. His offensive tackle was Andy Reid. So when you look at where Jim McMahon came from and what he was able to accomplish in the NFL, with it, playing for a guy like Mike Ditka, I think Chicago would embrace the next Michael Jordan, the next Jim McMahon, you know, a guy that could have a personality as big as the NFL. And I would like to see, you know, any personality on the Bears that has that type of cachet, I would like to see it.
And I think Caleb Williams sees that as well. And that's why he said all the positive things he did when he was at the NFL Combine. Tommy Thayer, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Lots of Bears talk in the next couple of weeks and months as well. We will talk to you soon, and we will see you. We should tell our listeners and our viewers that you can always catch Tom Thayer on ESPN 1000 on the ESPN Chicago app, on the Chicago Bears radio network, during every Chicago Bears game throughout the season. Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. Let's do it again later.
You got it. Thanks, Tom. What exactly did you take out of that Tom Thayer interview, Jason?
That was a lot of fun. You know, it's awesome hearing a lot of insight, not only from a former Bear, but from somebody who is really tapped in and in the know with what's going on with the team, and who has a really good sense of direction and not only where the Bears could go, but where they should go. And so, great conversation. Free agency is an exciting time of the year. I was flying all day yesterday, and so to land and see all the signings was super exciting. I'll never forget growing up, being in middle school and high school and being in school when all the first signings would break. Like, I was in gym class in sixth grade when the Bears signed Jared Allen, and I was so excited about that at the time. And
fail.
So, fail, yeah, yeah. And ripped a page right out of Jerry Reinsdorf's book, signing him like 3-4 years too late. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun and a great conversation. And, you know, the tea is only going to get warmer with the Bears as we get closer to the draft, because, Mom, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I feel like they have kind of mishandled this whole quarterback situation from a PR perspective.
I don't know that they've mishandled it. I think that word came out yesterday. There was a report that the Bears are still doing their homework on Caleb Williams and haven't really put themselves out there yet on the trade market for Justin Fields. I can't believe that, because you know you want to get in on it when it all starts, right? You want to get the best opportunity. I think that, to be honest with you, I do think that they may have known after the combine what the trade market was and that it wasn't going to be very robust. Once we started seeing Mac Jones get traded, and he was a first round pick, and he goes for a sixth rounder. Once you saw that, I think the Bears had to already know before that, from their discussions with teams at the combine, that there was not going to be a second round pick for Justin Fields. Therefore, they're not in a rush. They're going to wait it out. Maybe they'll wait until someone gets injured and bring both guys into camp. And then someone's going to get injured, and then they'll have more of a opportunity to trade Justin Fields to a team that needs a starter. So is it a terrible situation they're in? I don't think so, actually. I said months and months ago, when you look at Green Bay, what is wrong with doing the whole Jordan Love sitting on the bench, Aaron Rodgers who sat on the bench? And everyone says, well, because you don't have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers teaching you, you know. Well, so you have a Justin Fields teaching you. Who they bring in as a third quarterback could be interesting if they keep Tyson Bagent, or are they going to have another veteran in there to help a guy like a Caleb Williams? I don't think they're – I think, like I told Tom, Jason, I think that they're in a win-win situation, whether they keep him or they trade him.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I mean, they keep Justin Fields. They regain some of that leverage that they've lost by making it pretty obvious what direction that they're going in these past few weeks. And I agree. I think that they realized the trade market wasn't robust, and they realized that they should probably hold on to Justin Fields. I thought that a couple of weeks ago when it was mentioned by some of the higher reporters that the Bears could potentially get a first-round pick from Justin Fields, I just rolled my eyes at that. I mean, that was never in the picture. Definitely an instance, in my opinion, where the front office maybe even fed some faux information to the media.
Mel Kiper.
just to get the trade market going. And so I agree, though, the Bears are in great shape. And if you look at the offense now with DeAndre Swift, he really adds a dynamic to that backfield that they didn't have this past season, a dynamic pass-catching running back who can make men miss in open field. So I'm super excited to watch DeAndre Swift in a Bears uniform. Interested to see what they do at pick 9, though. I think that if Brock Bowers is there but some of those wide receivers aren't, we may see a pretty interesting pick from the Bears, even with having Cole Kmet. I think that they could take Brock Bowers, who is that wide receiver type at the tight end position from Georgia, super special talent. I'm curious to hear what you think about what the Bears might do at that pick, because it's obvious where they're going to go at 1.
Well, I think if the wide receivers are gone, and obviously, like many people, Joe Alt is going to be gone at 9, I think then they will move down. I think they'll move down a couple. They need the draft picks. They still do not, as we are talking today on March 12th, they still do not have a second round pick. So they gave up one in the Montez Sweat. They gave up one in the Chase Claypool trade. So they still need a second round pick. They need more draft picks. So I do think, though, that if Roma Dunze is there, they are going to go with another weapon like that. With that being said, Jason, do you have some predictions for us?
Yeah, I have quite a few. It's March. It's the best time of the year. College basketball tournaments. I'm here in Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament, which is super exciting. And so I'm going to predict that Houston is going to win the Big 12 tournament this year. We found out yesterday that Kansas is going to be without 2 of their All-American players. And so that takes the Jayhawks completely out of the picture, in my opinion, which really leaves Houston, Iowa State, and Baylor. Iowa State doesn't perform well away from home. Seen Baylor twice in person this year. Was impressed one time, wasn't impressed the other time. And so I'm going to go with the Cougars, who, in my opinion, have been the best team in the country this season.
Okay, number 2.
Number 2, so I'm going to say that the first pick in the NBA draft, there has been a huge stir on Twitter about this because The Ringer published a mock draft yesterday where they had Kentucky freshman guard Reed Sheppard going first overall. And everyone who doesn't watch college basketball, by the way, were like, what the heck? They're drafting Austin Reeves at first overall. Like, first of all, he plays nothing like Austin Reeves just because he's a white dude with a similar haircut. Second of all, this NBA draft that's coming up is very interesting because there isn't a lot of talent at the top, but there's a lot of talent towards the middle. And so I do think that whoever's picking first overall is going to decide to go with an American player. And, Mom, this might surprise you to hear that this is a little bit of a take. My prediction in of itself is that a college basketball player will be picked first overall this year. Far from a guarantee. But I do think that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about mock drafts and from people who haven't watched those players overseas. I trust in the talent pool and the NBA's global development, but I do think that a lot of teams still prefer to take a homegrown talent in the first round, especially at first overall.
Okay, and your last prediction.
My last prediction, so I am going to say that the Chicago Bulls, who have been one of the hotter teams in the NBA the past couple of weeks, I'm going to say that not only will they make the playoffs, but they're going to skip over the play-in and be the NBA's 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. I really think that this team has found its stride with the group that they have. Over the past 3 years, they've really had the same team, and they hadn't played good basketball in over 2 years with these guys until Zach LaVine went down. Curious, right? Well, Coby White is playing the best basketball of his career. He looks like the kid at UNC his freshman year, taking them to the Sweet 16 as one seed. So I really like what Coby White's been doing with the Bulls. I like the new Turkish guy who they've gotten, Omen, like Bitin or something. I totally forget the guy's name. He has been a ton of fun to watch. And then, yeah, the Bulls, I think that Billy Donovan is coaching the best basketball that he has coached while he's been on the sidelines at the United Center. And I'm going to say that the Bulls make the sixth seed, which in the Eastern Conference is still probably good for a first-round exit. But you just know that Jerry Reinsdorf is up in his president's owner's suite clapping and cheering because they're going to get the playoff revenue.
All right, my final thoughts have to do, shockingly, with college basketball. And you're going to be surprised by that because I know I don't follow college basketball as much. But Caitlin Clark, if I hear one more analyst say that she has to win an NCAA championship in order to be considered one of the greatest of all time, I am going to puke. Because here's my reasoning. Caitlin Clark has never played on the best team in the NCAA. And when you are going up against the South Carolinas, the LSUs, the UConns, the teams that always get all the best players in every state and are stacked in their lineup, you cannot expect Caitlin Clark to put the entire team at Iowa on her back to a championship. It's not like any other sport. Women's basketball does not have the same amount of, what would you say, Jason? When teams,
you can't just be a one-man team.
You cannot. Basketball. No, yeah. Now you can see it in the top 10 each year, the best teams, there's more teams added to that. It used to be you could look at the top three and that was it. So to say that Caitlin Clark needs to win a championship in order to be considered one of the greatest of all time, that really kind of bothers me because there is such a huge gap between the really elite teams in women's basketball and the good teams. The fact that they are going into the tournament, I think right now, as the number two team in the country, is really pretty shocking after LSU lost. So can they carry it through? I don't know. But she has four other players on that team on the court at the same time that also have to be able to step up. I don't think it's fair to say that she has to win a championship in order to be considered one of the greatest players in college basketball of all time. And those are my final thoughts. With that being said, I'd like to thank Tom Thayer for joining us today on this episode as the pre-NFL draft episode, as we look ahead to see what the Bears are going to do with the number one pick, and as we are in the midst of free agency in the NFL. You can always check out Tom Thayer on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network, where he calls every games along with Jeff Joniak throughout the NFL season for the Chicago Bears. And let's also thank Jay Cantu, our producer at ESPN 1000, who is helping us with the ESPN Chicago app, getting this podcast up each and every time we record. Jason, if people like us, what can they do?
Well, you can do a lot of things. You can follow us on Twitter. You can retweet our tweets. You can subscribe to our podcast on YouTube and like all of our podcasts, which would be super helpful. We are Chicago Sportscaster and our Sun podcast on YouTube. It's the best place to watch our podcast if you like the video version. And so just do us a favor, hit subscribe, like whichever podcast you're watching. It helps us out, boosts the algorithm. Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and on X as well, at Jason Conander, at Peggy Kaczynski, or at ESPN Peggy. That's it for this episode. We want to thank you guys all for joining us. This is an exciting time for NFL fans, especially in Chicago, and for the college basketball season as well, as the tournament is going to be getting underway very soon. Thank you all for joining us. Hey, Jason, good to see you, buddy. Have fun, okay?
Good to see you, Mom. Good to be back. Hopefully you have a nice week. I know I'll enjoy mine out in Kansas City. Talk to you on the podcast again soon.
Okay, take care, everyone.